If you'll stand with me, we're going to read from John 13. Oh, I can't look at that one. John 13, 1 through 15. It was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, so that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Be seated. As we look at this text, we want to remember that kind of this key text that I'm working all of this sermon series out of comes from 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So I was reading an article this week, and it was an older story, but I was looking for it, and I found it, and this is how it started. The opening sentence of the article said this: Sometimes one grandparent can change the world. Sometimes one grandparent can change the world. And from there, the article began to describe how across the country, mostly retirees are volunteering in neonatal ICU units. Now, of course, this is why I was looking for the article, because if you know me, NICUs are near and dear to my heart because of my wife being a NICU nurse, and she's told me about these programs before. But there are many retirees who are volunteering in neonatal ICUs, and what are they volunteering, you ask? Well, they're volunteering for the Cuddler program. And it sounds exactly like what it is. The Cuddler program fills the space between nurse and parent. Because you see, NICU nurse and staff are doing the best they can to provide the best care for the baby while they're in the NICUs. And you have to understand, many of the babies who are in NICUs are also have full-time jobs, and they're trying to figure out what it looks like to have a baby in the ICU while doing everything else. And so the cuddlers fill that space in between. They are volunteers who take time to come up to the ICUs and sing to babies, change their linens, change their clothes, and do exactly what it says, cuddle with the babies. You get to hold a baby, which I know for some of you sounds like a pretty good thing. But this is what they do. They're able to do this when the parents aren't there or they can't be there. They're able to sing to the baby and take time with the baby that sometimes nurses can't do. And so all over the country, these cuddler programs are kind of bubbling up. And you have people with grandchildren, retirees with grandchildren, and others without grandchildren who are raising their hand and volunteering. Because why? One grandparent can change the world. And as one 72-year-old man said, as he was said, he had watched this, he had saw this on the news, and this is what he said. He said, I can do that. I can hold a baby. I can do that. And then he said, I did, and I still do it. Individuals all around the country, sometimes grandparents with grandkids and pseudo-grandparents without grandkids, are realizing that they can be a gift to little ones and families who may never know them. They can be a gift doing something so small as holding a baby so that that baby, that family, and that nurse can also know that they too are a gift to the world. And I think we're seeing this even in our time today. As I look out, we're all wearing masks. Some of us are wearing masks that people actually made for us. Others of us may not be. But there are people who are realizing all this time that they have been sewing and putting together blankets and all of this. Now they're realizing that that gift of, you know, doing whatever it is y'all do, but making it look really cool, can actually help. And so people we have seen over the months have used their gift so that others may know that they are a gift to the world. And this is what I want to talk about today. This is what I want to look at today. As we are coming into the knowledge that we are gifts from God, and I don't want to use it as knowledge. I think what I really want to say is, as we come to realize inside of us that God knows us, and as Paul says, and I think he says it best in Galatians 4:9, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, he then goes on to say, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? But as we come more into the knowledge that we talked about last week, that God sees us as a gift, that God celebrates us as a gift to the world, the question then has to be, how do we be a gift to the world? What does it look like for us to be a gift to those around us? What does it look like for others to experience that they too are a gift from the Creator when they may not know that, when they may not understand what that looks like? And as I was writing this, I realized this all sounds real easy. It sounds like a no-brainer to many of us in the room and also online that we should do this, but this is also a difficult thing to realize of what it means to be a gift to others. While it sounds easy, we also see that it can be incredibly difficult. Hence why we read John 13. Because again, we want to look at Peter. We talked about a little bit of Peter last week. We want to look at the life of Peter again. Because we notice just how difficult it is for us to be a gift toward others instead of just ourselves. Instead of just being a gift to ourself, we come to realize that when we encounter Jesus, that Jesus reforms how we see or how we use our gifts. And that our gifts that we are given and the fact that we've come to this knowledge that we're known by God is actually something that should be able to bring healing into the world, something that should bring love into the world, something that should bring reconciliation into the world. This knowledge that you are a gift with a purpose, but maybe not the purpose you thought. Especially as it comes into conflict with what the world is telling you how you should use your gifts. And here's the thing, because we can use our gifts in the way that people tell us to. We can use our gifts in the way, as Paul would say, the powers and principalities tell us we should use our gifts, which in a lot of ways means our gifts should be center-focused. How can you climb the ladder of success? How can you get more power? How can you have more prestige? Which the world tells us then, if that's what you're going for, then everybody around you, the person sitting next to you now and the person at work and your neighbor are all pawns in a game that you use to try to get to where you think is the best. And the world tells you that's how you use your gifts. You use your gifts for yourself to make sure that you're comfortable, to make sure that you're right, to make sure that you feel okay. And we see this with Peter as we read John 13. Initially, as we read John 13, we get this part in verse 3 in which it tells us that Jesus understands who Jesus is. Jesus, we see in verse 3, understands his true self before the Father, in relation to the Father, that Jesus understands who he is and his gifts in relation to his Father. And in verse 3, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had what? Put all things under his power, and that he had come from where? God, and was returning to God. Jesus had this idea of his relationship with the Father and what that meant. So much so that we read later on that Jesus is even willing to humble himself, not just before the disciples, but I think sometimes we forget this when we read this, that Jesus not only washes the feet of the disciples, but who else's feet does he wash? And it tells us a little bit, but it says in verse 11, for he already knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. But John gives us the idea that Jesus washed everybody's feet who was there. It's not like he got to Judas and went, that would have been awkward. He just kept washing feet. And we see that Jesus kind of understands what's going on here and who he is, that he can even wash the feet of the person who's going to betray him. He can even serve the person who's going to betray him. Imagine that. Imagine in this moment, as the disciples are sitting there at the meal, the disciples have seen Jesus do everything that he has done. And the disciples' dreams and their aspirations of what the kingdom will look like when Jesus finally takes the wheel, when finally Jesus takes the lead. And we see it in Acts 1 when the disciples tell him, now's the time for the kingdom of God to come. And Jesus says, yes, but not the way you think. They have all these aspirations of what the kingdom's going to look like and how Jesus is going to rule. And then they see Jesus start taking off his outer garments, getting a basin of water, and start washing, I don't know, let's just say Andrew's feet first. And Jesus begins to serve the disciples. And it's in that moment, it's a moment which Peter cannot handle seeing Jesus in this position. This is not the position of a leader. This is not the position of how a leader uses his gifts. We see that there in verse 8. We see that Peter looks at Jesus and says, no, you'll never wash my feet. Now Jesus goes on and says, well, if I don't wash yours, then you're not going to be a part of me. But we see in Peter this idea that this is not how you serve Jesus. This is not what a leader does with his gifts. A leader leads. A leader like you finally takes over the kingdom, takes over the empire, gets the Romans out. This is how we lead. Cleans the temple, does all that stuff. You do not get on your knees, Jesus, and start washing feet. And in the midst of that, we notice in that last part, when Jesus says, unless I wash your feet, you will have no part of me, Jesus interrupts all of it. And this is the thing when we encounter Jesus. Are we ready for Jesus to interrupt our plans of how we should use our gifts for how Jesus says we should use our gifts? Are we ready for Jesus to interrupt how the world tells us we should use them and how we've been trying to use them to get on top, to be number one, to lead? Or are we ready to use our gifts in a way that maybe puts us on our knees and washing others' feet? How else could Jesus wash the feet of Judas, the guy who's going to betray him very soon? Jesus interrupts Peter's views of what the world has been telling him it should be. A narrative that says, your gifts are more important than another person's gifts. Your gifts are too special. Your gifts are too unique just to be used on anybody. And in fact, the world says, you get to decide where you use your gifts. You get to decide who has the privilege of coming in contact with you. And what happens when we do this is we find ourselves with blinders on. We find ourselves like the two guys walking on the road when the dude who's sitting on the side who was beaten, and you remember it was the Samaritan who saw him. We end up with blinders and we think our gifts are good enough just for certain people. Our gifts are too special to use on just anybody. What do we end up becoming? We end up becoming the two guys walking on the road who see the guy and say, you know what? I don't have time. And we keep going. That's what we become if we buy into this narrative that the world says your gifts are too good to use on just anybody. And this is what Peter was thinking. Peter wasn't really ready to be interrupted of his dreams. Peter really wasn't ready to be interrupted of using his gifts in extraordinary ways. I mean, you can imagine Peter's probably thinking, when I really use them, when this kingdom gets set up, boy, the people are going to be patting my back. The people are going to be putting me right next to Jesus. I'll be Secretary of State. That's going to be me. I'll be this man. I'll be the prime minister. Jesus can be king. I'll be prime minister. That's what I'll be. Peter's thinking of all of these things. If this is how my gifts will be used, this is what I'll get to do. And in a moment, all of those grand intentions are unmasked before Jesus and laid bare, no pun intended, at Peter's feet. All of Peter's ideas of how gifts should be used, all Peter's ideas of who's deserving and who's not, is laid bare at his feet. And how many times have we found ourselves like Peter? We don't have time to do this or that. We would love to help if we had enough time, but time is precious. It needs to be used in a precious way. You, me, all of us in here found ourselves hurrying along, missing the opportunities before us to serve. Why? A lot of us, we just don't have time. It could also be that we don't value. We don't value the person we want to help. That person's not deserving. What do I get in return? I know we keep hearing it over and over, but we like to use our gifts in a pro quo kind of way. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. How do we do this? Let's figure this out. Let's go from here. And so we begin to put a value system on people. They're worth my gift being used, but they're not. She is. Nah, not really she is. She's not. And we kind of go from it that way. But I want to tell you a story, and it's I tell you this story because it's a story that has resonated in my life for, 7 years now. I told this story like 7 years ago. But it's been a story that I've used to tell in other places. And I also want to use this story because it works perfectly, but also my daughter has gotten on to me for using stories of Isaac and saying that he's the favorite son. So I'm going to tell you something my daughter really did. And this is a story that has stuck with me and has been with me. So Anna Lee was about 7 at the time. A man came into the office. So I was youth minister. And a man came in the office and he was asking for help. Nothing like normal days when people could just walk into the office. He came in asking for help. At the time, Becky was at her desk. Angela was at her desk. Anna Lee was in my office. It was after school. And I heard him come in. And, you know, you can hear from my office what was going on. And I heard the man, he was asking for some help. He was saying, I need, if you have any a little gas money, a little grocery money, it'd be great. And I heard him, and so I got up from my desk. Anna Lee was sitting there, and I got up from my desk, and I walked out, and I just kind of just checked on Angela and Becky just to make sure everything was okay, and he mentioned something, and I kind of, you know, said my hi's, and then went back to my office. And then as I went back to my office, Anna Lee said, "Dad, who was that?" And I go, "Oh, it was nobody." Catch what I said there. It was nobody. And so I went back to my desk and started working. A couple minutes later, Anna Lee did what all kids are good at doing, which is vanishing. You know what I'm talking about, like vanishing into thin air. And I looked up from my desk, and Anna Lee wasn't there. And, you know, like any good dad, I just yelled her name. You know, "Anna Lee, where are you?" And nothing responded. So I got off my chair, walked out of my doorway, and looked down the office hall and hollered at her again, "Anna Lee, where are you?" And I hear this voice from our library and says, "Dad, I'm in here." I walk into the library, and there's Anna Lee, all of 7 years old, reading the story of Noah to this man. And she's sitting next to him, and as parents, you're all probably having the same thoughts I had. But at the time, you have to realize Becky Kemp was at the secretary's desk, and if we all know Becky, it was going to be okay. But there she was, reading the story of Noah the best she could as a 7-year-old. And this man's just listening to her. And I stopped and watched, and she finished the story and shut the book. And this man looked at my daughter and said, "Anna Lee, thank you. That was a great story." He knew her name. And she said, "Can I read another one?" And he was like, "No, thank you." You know, no. Natalie got up and walked back to my office, and Angela took care of the man. And the man looked at me and said, "You've got a good daughter." And I walked back to the office, and I said, "Annalie, why are you reading a story to that guy?" She's like, "Because, Dad, he's my friend." A lesson of a seven-year-old of how, what it means to wash someone's gifts, who I said was a nobody, and what does my daughter say? "He's my friend." A seven-year-old taught me what it looks like to use my gifts at all times so that others may know that they are a gift, because I didn't treat that man like he was a gift. To be taught like a child what it looks like for others to experience that they are a gift, that they are worthy, that we have time for them, that they aren't just a pawn or an object in all of this world. It reminds me of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said in his book, Life Together. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He says, "It is part of the discipline of humility that we must not spare our hand where it can perform a service, and that we do not assume that our schedule is our own to manage, but allow God to arrange it." When we encounter Jesus, we encounter a life squarely secured in the life of the Father. We encounter a life that is not directed towards self or self-protection or what can I get, but instead we see a life that's directed towards others. The gifts of Jesus were not to be withheld, but instead were to be given. When we ourselves experience this love, then all of our motives, all of our arrogance, and all of our pride is unmasked and laid bare at the throne of grace. We then move beyond our false self, this self that says, "I can only use my gifts for a certain reason," and we move closer to our true self. Jesus moves us towards something bigger than ourselves, a calling of service in the life of God toward others and our neighbors. Our gifts become something more than a commodity used to be traded, but instead our gifts become something that can be used in the service of the King so that the kingdom of God may go further in this world. And as David Benner says, and I love this quote, as David Benner said in this book, that I keep reading over and over and over again. He says this, God's call to our fulfillment is therefore our call to take our place in the grand restoration agenda of making all things new in Christ. Our vocation is grounded in the self that from eternity God has willed to be. Our calling is to become that self and then to serve God and our fellow human beings in the particular way that will represent the fulfillment of that self. In general, we are to do this. Our gifts are not a possession to hold on to, but a gift to serve and to give others. That's our calling. That's who we are in the life of God. God sees you as a gift, as we said last week, and now God says, go use that gift on everybody you encounter so that they can too also experience being a gift to the world. Don't withhold, but open up and give. If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.